nothing like a little Bobby Earl Keen to get the blood flowing in the morning, and that's what we're doing right here on the Lone Star Outdoors Show. I'm Cable Smith, and I am just thrilled to death to be here with you. And why wouldn't I be? Because I'm doing what I love to do, and that's talking hunting and fishing with you guys every Saturday for a full hour. Now, there's another reason why I'm especially pumped up about today, and that's because as soon as the show's over, I'll be southbound 35 headed to Mason County and the Star S Ranch to do a little turkey hunting. Yes, sir. The North Zone opens up today. Hopefully, I'll be fortunate enough to harvest a bird and have a good report for you guys for next week. This morning's going to be a very fishing-heavy adventure. First off, we're going to visit with pro bass angler Byron Velvick. He won the Golden State Shootout on California's Clear Lake 2 weeks ago. The win was Byron's first ever on the Elite Series. Some of you anglers out there may know Byron as one of the pioneers responsible for ushering in the swim bait craze onto the professional bass fishing scene. And some of you ladies out there may know Byron from his exploits on ABC's series, The Bachelor. Glad to see Byron put that behind him. Any Deadliest Catch fans out there this morning? The Season 6 premiere is coming up on the Discovery Channel on April 13th, and that's why I'm proud to tell you that Wizard Captain Keith Colburn will be joining us for the bottom half hour of the show. And we'll talk about everything under the sun that involves running a crab boat on the world's most unforgiving ocean, Alaska's Bering Sea. But before we get into all of that, I need to say congratulations to our March Photo of the Month winner, Mike and Spencer Waits, father-son combination, sent a great picture to me after a successful goose hunt. You can check out their winning picture right there on my homepage at texasoutdoorsmedia.com. Be sure to email me your best outdoor photos for your chance to win a one-year subscription to Lone Star Outdoor News, and you'll also be entered into our grand prize trophy whitetail or boar hunt, which we'll be giving away at the end of the year. Moving right along here this morning, it is now time to read our weekly excerpt from the book Poachers, Crooks, and Other Turkeys, written by our Texas Parks and Wildlife game wardens for the good folks over at Lone Star Outdoor News. This excerpt is titled, Nighttime Turkey Hunters Busted. Wheeler County game warden Robert Greenwalt apprehended two subjects hunting turkeys at 1 a.m. on a private ranch in Wheeler County. Cases were filed. All I can say is congratulations, you're a couple of idiots. Well, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, it's pro bass angler Byron Velvick. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range.
$15.27, so dang me, they ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me?
Every outdoorsman needs a buddy in the gun business, and that's why you need to check out Richardson's Gun Shop. Whether you're looking for a rifle, shotgun, or handgun, Richardson's Gun Shop has it covered. Check them out at www.rguns.com to see the best deals in North Texas. In addition to the sweetest deals on firearms, they also can book your dove or exotic hunt. Located in Wolf City, Texas, visit www.rguns.com or call 903-496-7747. That's Richardson's Gun Shop for all of your shooting, hunting, and outdoor needs. Cable Smith here to tell you about my friend Todd Moy over at Revolution Custom Carts. Revolution Custom Carts is a licensed easy-go and bad boy buggies dealer. So whether you want a custom golf cart, a low-speed street vehicle, or a tricked-out hunting rig, Revolution is the place for you. In addition to offering tax credits, tell Todd you heard this ad and save 10% on any purchase. I've been to the convenient Plano Road location in Dallas, and you should too. Give Todd a call at 214-340-7100 or check out the website at www.revolutioncustomcarts.com. Ever want to ditch that Texas summer heat and go on the trip of a lifetime? Rogue Excursions is currently trying to fill limited spots for the 2010 summer season. Sportsmen can see Alaska firsthand, take advantage of the plentiful fisheries and breathtaking views, hook up with all five Pacific salmon species, battle giant halibut and lingcod, and other native species. Located in beautiful Sitka, our operation is designed to be the trip of a lifetime. Visit us at www.rogueexcursions.com or call Captain Cameron Clifton personally at 817-994-2254 and ask for the range specials.
Just because whitetail season has ended doesn't mean you can't harvest trophy big game animals in the Lone Star State. The biggest axis deer in Texas can be found at Star S Ranch. The best time to hunt axis starts now and runs through July, so book your axis hunt today before they're all gone. Visit us at www.star-s-ranch.com to learn more about our beautiful Texas Hill Country Ranch and accommodations. That's www.star-s-ranch.com to book the hunt of a lifetime.
Revolution Logistics is a Dallas-based full-service transportation company. Whether you need trucking services or warehouse services, Revolution Logistics is the answer. We offer full truckload as well as LTL and door-to-door service throughout North America. Dry van, intermodal, flatbed, and heavy haul. Revolution has it all. We also have warehousing services including storage, transloading, consolidation, and deconsolidation. Visit us at www.revolutionlogistics.com or give Todd a call at 214-340-7100.
That's www.revolutionlogistics.com.
Zoom Pest Control is your residential pest control specialist. Owner Rob Doherty, a certified applicator and member of the Better Business Bureau, is also an avid bass angler. Give Rob a call at 214-317-9293 to find out about their quarterly pest control program. For the best residential protection and a sound peace of mind, choose Zoom Pest Control. Tell Rob you heard about him on the Lone Star Outdoor Show and get $25 off your first visit. Zoom Pest Control accepts all major credit cards, so call Zoom Pest Control at 214-317-9293 today.
Nothing looks bad.
Two Tons of Steel bringing us back from break here this morning on the Lone Star Outdoors Show. I'm Cable Smith. Pleasure to be here with you today. We don't have any time to waste. God, I need a longer show. We can only fit so much hunting and fishing into 1 hour. But anyway, let me go ahead and introduce my first guest this morning, pro bass angler and Del Rio, Texas resident Byron Velvick, fresh off his first ever Elite Series win at the Golden State Shootout. Byron, first of all, congratulations on mopping the floor with the world's premier bass fisherman 2 weeks ago on Clear Lake. It was the definition of a dominating performance, my man.
Thanks a lot, man. Yeah, that was a fun event to go to and a great walk down memory lane. So I definitely enjoyed last 2 weeks ago over there at that place.
This was your first ever Elite Series win. So I got to ask you how it feels to get that monkey off your back.
You know, I've won the Open, I won the wild card, so I had two bass wins, they call it, but never the elite event, you know, so that's a whole different monster when you go to something and win that type of event, because, you know, I knew it was like to win events, you know, and I've won events before, I know what that means. It's fun to go to win events, you know, how all the ducks have to line up, and, you know, everything has to be just right for you to win, but to go out and beat those guys on the tour events, man, those are the hard ones to do.
Yeah. Well, a nice $100,000 paycheck goes along with it, too. Any plans to buy yourself something nice?
No, the problem is, I think we have about, we all joke about that. Me and John Cruz were talking about that. You know, we have $80,000 in expenses in the course of the year, so let's see how the second half of the year shakes out before we start buying ourselves nice, pretty things.
Right, right. Some of our listeners may not know, but you're one of the pioneers responsible for ushering in the swim bait era on the professional bass fishing scene about a decade ago. Talk about who originally turned you onto swim baits and tell me how you fished your swim bait during your wire-to-wire win at Clear Lake.
Well, the swim bait, it was kind of cool. There was a group of us guys that were fishing a lot, you know, in the saltwater. And I was a saltwater kid, Southern California. Growing up out there, I was fishing just ocean fishing, yellowtail, calico bass, party boats, doing everything we could, and it got out, you know, by a small group of us that, you know, we found that they were stocking trout in these lakes, and the bass were keyed up on them pretty good, and, you know, I can't remember if it was just a group of the guys, everybody started throwing these things for these trout, and nobody was throwing them in tournaments. You know, I was kind of making that segue into bass tournaments, and at the same time, they were doing these big trout stockings, and these trout baits were, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12 inches. And these bass had no problem choking them down. So I started going to these tournaments, quietly throwing these things, and I was winning Orville, Folsom, Don Pedro, Shasta. You know, I'm winning these tournaments in the West, and I'm becoming a tournament Western angler, throwing a swim bait, and the competitors, the old school guard, they didn't have a clue. You know, there's this young guy with a big giant saltwater lure mixing it up, you know, fishing for a limit, but then not afraid to mix it up to throw a 8 or 9 inch kokanee salmon looking thing, or trout looking thing, or hitch at Clear Lake, and that's how it all happened. That was a secret of mine until 2000. 10 years ago, that that secret kind of got out on the tournament scene when I won Clear Lake with 83 pounds for 3 days in 2000.
Well, that was a record, too.
Still a record. It's still the three-day BASS record. No one broke it. You know, Timmy Horton had a shot at it in Florida a couple of years ago, but it didn't break there either.
Uh-huh.
So it's the current three-day winning weight for five fish for Bassmasters.
Yep. Over 83 pounds in 3 days. I would have to say that the secret's out at that point. Tell me about the 7-inch Rego BV 3D swim bait that you used to win at Clear Lake. What separates it from other swim baits currently out on the market?
The Rego BVD3, it's Jerry Rego's bait, and it's an amazing bait. Jerry kind of brought it to me and showed it to me and was like, hey man, I'm, you know, working on this thing, and I put my 2 cents in. We talked together about it. We kind of worked together on designing it and finalizing it, but it's a belly hook swim bait. Rego's bait is like an Osprey and whatnot, but because it has these pectoral fins and dorsal fins, it's three-dimensional. If you look at the thing, it doesn't have a flat back on it, you know, like the Osprey, where it's got the bottom of it looks like a fish, but the top of it looks like a flat tire.
Uh-huh.
And that's the joke. It's like a flat tire-looking bait. This is not. This is three-dimensional with the fins all in the right places all the way around. But those fins have the added benefit of actually keeping the bait weedless. So when you watch the show, which airs Sunday, this coming Sunday, if you get a chance, I mean, the best thing in the world to do would be to see the Bassmaster show because it's coming weekend.
I'll be watching it.
You'll see how weedless the thing is. I'm throwing it out there, letting it sink to the bottom, and then engaging the reel and slow rolling this thing and picking it through grass. Even though there's hooks on the belly of it, I'm popping it through grass. I'm chipping it through stuff. And I'm trying to work on the bait, just feeling it along, wanting to feel the bottom, feel the structure, feel everything. And that's the key, is this thing can actually run through most of the good vegetation and get bit.
Once again, this is Elite Series angler and Del Rio, Texas resident Byron Velvick joining us on the Lone Star Outdoors Show. With a four-day weight of 98 pounds, 6 ounces, you led the Golden State shootout from day one until the final day four weigh-in. Once you had the lead, was there ever any doubt in your mind that you were going to win that thing?
I knew these guys were in trouble, and I was going to be a tough guy to beat the first day of the tournament. When I rolled into an area where I had one bite in practice and roll up in there with my swim bait, you know, having had only one bite in that area, fire out there and catch one or two fish pretty quick, and I actually saw in 52-degree water with practically gloves on my hands, freezing cold, I see some hitch getting chased by largemouth. And that's exactly what I saw 10 years ago when I won with 83 pounds in the same bay, was that they were in there, and they weren't just eating my Rego BVD3, or they were actually out there chasing the hitch that were just kind of indigenous to the lake that were starting to try to move in and getting clobbered in this bay. I'm like, oh man, here we go. I mean, it was a connection point where I knew that it was going to be pretty tough to beat me. If I'm in a bay that's full of hitch where I've caught 80 pounds before and I got 4 days to fish by myself in
uh-huh.
there, you know, and the elite folks, maybe the other guys just don't know how to fish the bait. So, you know, they weren't fishing it right, and that was probably one of the best parts about the whole thing.
When you talk about hitch, that's Southern California's equivalent to shad?
No, it's like a carp. There's plenty of shad in these lakes, but this hitch is like a little carp. It's a funky little bait. It's a fish 7, 8, 9, 10 inches. They get pretty big. And these hitch have been in Clear Lake probably forever, since the American Indians lived around Clear Lake. It's a long, elongated, thin little looking, kind of like a herring type body. And it's a fish that I had found out, you know, about a decade ago, these fish really keyed on at that lake. And then that's the trick with swim bait fishing. When you go somewhere, you want to find out if they're on a golden shiner bite, a hitch bite, if they're on a blueback herring bite, because they put blueback herring in some of the lakes, like South Carolina and whatnot. That's the deal.
Mm-hmm. While I have you on the line, let's go even more in depth into the art of fishing a swim bait. What would you describe as the ideal weather conditions for swim baits? For example, sunny and calm versus overcast and windy, or does it even matter?
You know, the one thing with swim baits that you gotta that people need to know is that you really lose a percentage of opportunity after about 10 in the morning. The real key is to go out and swim in the mornings and swim in the afternoon. If you want to learn how to swim bait fish, take it out in the afternoon, go out around 2, 3, 4 o'clock and fish it till dark. I mean, that's really when you're going to get a shot at bites of swim baits. To go out and throw that thing at 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, it really falls off exponentially, and that's just a timing thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I look for is I like sunny days with a breeze, you know, maybe a little bit overcast. I had the worst conditions in Clear Lake you could have had, which was that calm, clear, high sun, It was the worst conditions for swim bait fishing. I mean, the bites became few and far between after that sun hit the water. And I was looking for a ripple. You know, and that first day when I had 29 pounds, we got a really nice breeze in the afternoon, and the sun came up. It really warmed up, and the conditions got right, you know, just in the afternoon. That last hour of the first day was magical, and it's the time of day that I caught that 10-11 the first day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I had a great limit the first day, including the 10-11, you know, with right at almost 30 pounds, you know, just because the conditions finally got right.
I forgot about that. You also won the big bass with that 10-11.
Only for that day. Bobby Lane went out and threw a swim bait the next day and caught 11-something, so that busted my heart. I mean, it took me from having a big fish in the tournament to having a second big fish in the tournament because he was able to catch one in the morning of the second day that was over 11.
Oh, Bobby will do that sometimes.
Yeah, he will.
How different is fishing a swim bait at your home lake, Lake Amistad, versus other lakes such as Lay Lake, where they have the Classic, or even Lake Fork right here in northeast Texas?
You know, some lakes, it doesn't work. You know, some lakes it works great, some lakes it doesn't work at all. And it's a matter of the forge, like I said, in the lake, you know, and Lay Lake doesn't lend itself to swim bait fishing in the least. It's just not a good pond for it. You know, other places, it's awesome. And I know Lake Fork, I've heard some great stories of swim bait fishing in Lake Fork before, you know, and guys catching some great fish in there. That's a big fish in that guy. And you really want to be in a situation when these big fish are keyed up on big bait. But certain lakes, I mean, I've been amazed at lakes where I cannot get them. They just live in harmony with the bluegill and the bass and all the other fish in the lake. And you're like, man, I can't believe there's only a swim bait, but there's so many ponds in this country. You got to find out if these fish they have a target for it. You know, they're really zeroed in on it.
What's another versatile all-round swim bait that you can recommend for our listeners to check out?
True Tungsten has made some really good swim baits. The Berkeley Hollow Belly is unbelievable. I mean, that's the one that I had three top 12s last year. Two of those top 12 came on the Berkeley Hollow Belly last year. You know, those are great. You know, from Hard Bait, Coppers is a sponsor of mine, and they make an incredible blueback herring, that live target stuff. And I don't know if you're listening, you've seen the live target stuff, but the Coppers live target stuff is anatomically correct. You know, crankbaits and swim baits and everything else, all in the Hard Bait family.
Huh.
You know, so that if you're mixing it up, I like baits that look as much like Rago's bait and Coppers bait. You know, they really have a good, solid, you know, fin presence, gill presence, painted gills, you know, the whole nine yards. It has all the accoutrements of a real fish. But, you know, from just a sheer easy bait to fish, the Berkeley Hollow Belly, I mean, what a great swim bait that is. And I know Bobby Lane, he won Kentucky Lake on a Berkeley swim bait as well. And that was the Power Mullet, which is like a saltwater swim bait. But those fish, you know, it's a lead impregnated one, so it's really easy to fish deep because it has lead in it. You can throw it down there and slow roll that thing pretty deep.
Huh. Who's your best friend on the Elite Series?
Fish Monroe. Fish Monroe would be my running buddy of late. Him and I in the last few years have formed an alliance, and I room with him and Ike and John Cruz, but Ish and I are real tight, and that's probably the guy that I kind of call and we talk to on a week on a daily or hourly basis, you know, during tournaments.
He seems like a really nice guy just from seeing him on TV. Never met him,
yeah.
But after Clear Lake, I think you're up to 23rd place now in the Angler of the Year standings. Would you rather win Angler of the Year or the Bassmaster Classic?
Ooh. I'd rather win Angler of the Year.
Uh-huh.
I would rather win. I think a lot of guys probably would. I mean, the Classic is great, but that's the showcase event, and a guy can win that if he has a good week. But for you to win Angler of the Year, you were the best for the whole year. So an Angler of the Year title would be more gratifying and more recognizable as, hey man, for that year, you know, you put me on the water for 8, 10, 11 events, I was the best. That's a much harder accomplishment than winning a classic.
Right. Now, Byron, my wife, along with many ladies out there, find you a handsome devil, and she wants to know if your TV career is over or can she expect to see you on an upcoming series of Dancing with the Stars?
Absolutely will not be doing anything TV related that's not outdoors.
That's what I wanted to hear.
I will continue to do my Going Coastal show. I like doing outdoor TV, but as far as any Dancing with the Stars or any of this other stuff, absolutely not. I kind of like right where I'm at.
Uh-huh.
If I have a rod in my hand, a fish at the end of the line, than any of that other crazy TV thing.
And an Elite Series trophy to boot. So, hey man, congrats again on the Golden State Shootout win. Good luck. Let's continue that trend at the next Elite Series event, which is the Blue Ridge Brawl. I believe that's coming up in a couple weeks in Virginia.
Right.
It's been a real treat, man. We'll do it again sometime soon. Good luck.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, and really enjoyed the time. Yeah, hopefully it can bring me some more luck, and I win with the next one.
Well, we'll be pulling for you, Byron. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, it's our exclusive interview with Wizard Captain Keith Colburn of the Discovery Channel's hit series, Deadliest Catch. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range.
The Zorro rose up one more time, drove Del Cielo in the sand.
Listen up, anglers, because you need to know about the unbeatable prices at Moe's Tackle Unlimited. Moe's is a web-based tackle supply company that offers deep, discounted prices. Lures, hooks, flies, freshwater, and saltwater, Moe's has it covered. Our goal at Moe's Tackle Shop is to provide super service, top-shelf quality, and great prices. Check us out at moestackleshop.com and enter the promo code LoneStarOutdoorShow to save an additional 10% on your order. That's www.moestackleshop.com.
Hi, I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
Cable Smith here, and I want to tell you about my friends and fellow outdoorsmen at No Fences Land Company. No Fences Land Company is a recreational real estate firm that focuses on listing and selling fine ranch properties for hunting and fishing. Their affiliation with Cabela's Trophy Properties gives them a marketing advantage to offer today's buyers and sellers the finest ranch real estate services available. If you have a property you're looking to buy or sell, please contact No Fences Land Company at 800-866-LAND or visit them on the web at nofencesland.com.
Are you interested in a wild boar hunt of a lifetime? Then contact Tactical Hog Control. Tactical Hog Control uses cutting-edge technology and the coolest toys to increase your hog-killing efficiency. Each hunter is fitted with night vision goggles and suppressed semi-automatic AR-10 rifles equipped with night vision and thermal scopes, just like the videos you've seen on YouTube. Conveniently located halfway between Dallas and Houston in Madisonville, call 936-581-2256 or visit us at www.tacticalhogcontrol.com. We don't fear the night. We own it.
Rick's Outpost is the place for the outdoorsman. Rick's offers USDA-approved taxidermy on large and small game, as well as fish. As the official wild game processor of the Lone Star Outdoor Show, Rick's guarantees you'll get your own meat back and in a timely manner. Serving the Frisco, North Dallas area for over 20 years, Rick's offers a custom welding shop, hunting blinds, and game feeders. Rick will also help you book your trophy hunt. Located on Highway 380 in Aubrey, call 972-346-2825 or visit us at www.ricksoutpost.com.
Are you looking for the perfect place to send your hunting buddy? Then check out Tioga Retrievers. With over 20 years experience, Angie and Tim Becker can provide you with a field champion or a well-rounded hunting companion. Tioga Retrievers takes pride in catering to the needs of each owner and their dog. Conveniently located 45 miles north of DFW in Aubrey, Texas, Tioga Retrievers also offers day training and boarding. Call 940-440-0018 or visit them online at www.tiogaretrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A retrievers.com.
The Purple Goo Tire Sealant is your solution to prevent flat tires on your trailers, ATVs, golf carts, tractors, and lawn equipment. The Purple Goo uses innovative technology to locate and plug holes as they occur. Purple Goo not only outperforms all other off-road tire sealants, it also helps prevent rims from rusting and lasts for the life of the tire. Visit us at www.thepurplegoo.com and roll on with the Purple Goo Tire Sealant. No more flats.
Hi, this is Phil Robertson, better known as the Duck Commander. This is the Lone Star Outdoor Show, 95.3 The Range.
All right, Cable Smith welcoming you back to the presentation. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. A couple of reminders before I introduce our next guest. The Crappie Anglers of Texas's third tournament of their 2010 tour is coming to Lake Texoma. The tournament is Saturday, April 17th. Weigh-in will be at 3:30 at the Cedar Mills Resort. For registration information or to find out more about what the CAT has going on, check out the link on my homepage at texasoutdoorsmedia.com or visit them at crappieanglersoftexas.com. And now, without further ado, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce one of the stars of my favorite TV show, Discovery Channel's Deadliest Catch. It's Wizard Captain Keith Colburn joining us here on the Lone Star Outdoors Show. I, like many of our listeners, am anxiously awaiting the Season 6 April 13th premiere. This is the Wizards' fourth season on Deadliest Catch, and my first question is, why did the Discovery Channel choose you and your brother Monty, and was the decision to accept the invitation a no-brainer?
They actually came to us about 7 years ago, and at the time my brother Monty was running a different boat. They asked us if we'd be interested in doing it. They liked the idea of two brothers running two different boats, and at the time I didn't own the Wizard, and the previous owner wanted nothing to do with it. You know, he basically said, hey, focus on fishing, we don't need any distractions. A couple of years later, I purchased the boat myself, and they've been asking us every year if we'd be on the show. And so, you know, I agreed, and it's actually been pretty entertaining. It's been fun, and it's kind of brought a whole new way to look at what I do and, you know, let my kids see what I do for a living.
Well, I'm certainly glad that you two were eventually roped into this deal, because Deadliest Catch is definitely better with the Wizard as a part of it. Now, Keith, the Discovery Channel and Bering Sea recently lost one of their best and most endearing figures in Captain Phil Harris of the Cornelia Marie. In Season 5, there seemed to be some tension between you and Phil, and so I've got to ask you if y'all had the chance to patch things up before Phil's passing.
Oh, you know, the thing is when we start fishing, you know, and Phil and I were not partners out on the fishing grounds, you know, many times we would be fishing the same area. And, you know, what happened last year was we basically got into the same area. We're trying to fish on the same school of crab. And guys get territorial. And, you know, when you're in the heat of the moment, you've been up for 28 hours and you haven't slept in 8 days. And, you know, tempers can flare. And no, we had a real good laugh about it afterwards, you know, just sort of passed it off as another day at the office.
Where were you when you found out that Phil had passed away?
When Phil passed, I was fishing. I was out on the fishing grounds, and you know, I heard about it kind of the way we always do as fishermen. You know, it's either through the grapevine, over the radio. This time it happened to be on a phone conversation with my wife down south, of all people. Wow. I heard about it before I had up in the Bering Sea. It was a shocker, you know. I mean, we knew he was sick. We knew he'd gotten medevaced out to Anchorage, and, you know, but all the reports coming back were great. But unfortunately, you know, it happens, it's a shame. The Bering Sea lost another one of its colorful and great fishermen, and, you know, it's too bad.
Now, when something like this happens, Keith, do you tell your crew immediately, or do you kind of wait for the right moment to break such tragic news?
Well, you know, in this case, you know, Phil and I were closer than my crew was with Phil. So this was something that hit home with me probably harder than anybody on my crew, because, you know, the captains are a pretty tight-knit fraternity. Generally, if a man's lost, if there's a man overboard, or if there's, you know, an emergency mayday situation out there, you try to pick the right time and place to let your crew know. You know, I mean, you want to let them know. They may have a friend on the boat, or it may be a friend of theirs. So you want to let them know, but at the same time, you don't want to shock them right in the middle of doing something, because, you know, it's a dangerous job, and you want to make sure the guys are focused on the job at hand. So sometimes it might be a day, sometimes it might be a few days before you give the guys the heads up on, you know, what's transpired. Mm-hmm. You know, we're hundreds of miles from each other, so there's nothing we can do, and we're completely helpless. All we can do is just listen to the events unfold on the radio and the Coast Guard response, and, you know, cross our fingers, knock on wood, and throw out a little prayer, and, you know, hope everything turns out okay.
Have you talked to Phil's sons, Jake and Josh, since his passing?
I have, and I've talked to Josh a number of times. You know, the boys are—they're doing okay. They're getting through it. They've had phenomenal support from, you know, not only the fishing and industry people, but also from the film crew and the Discovery folks have just been amazing, and how they've stepped up to kind of just help these boys get through it. You know, it's tough for them because they're young men, and, you know, they lost their guardian, their mentor, their boss, their employer. I mean, all in one fell swoop, the most important person in their life is basically gone, and it's been a really trying time for them. But they're, you know what, they're hanging tough. You know, they're going to get through it.
Yeah, it's a very sad deal indeed. Do you think Jake and Josh will continue their father's legacy as Bering Sea crab fisherman?
Well, you know, it's anybody's guess. You know, I know in 25 years of being up there, I've lost some really good friends and some acquaintances and, you know, fellow fishermen. Some people hang it up, you know. They say, well, you know what, that's it for me, I'm done. Other people push forward and say, hey, I was born to do this and this is what I'm going to do. And you know, when someone hangs it up in the Bering Sea and they stop crab fishing, we pat them on the back and say, hey, well done, good job. And it was great having you out here with us. You know, there's always a job for you if you want one. There's never anything wrong with moving on to a different stage in your life, you know. And if that's what the boys decide, well, you know, it's what they decide. But, you know, I think just like their dad, I think they've got it in their blood.
You guys push the limits every time you leave Dutch Harbor. And I don't know if it's because of the monotonous nature of the job or the high stress level or a combination of both, but it looks like the majority of the crew smokes cigarettes. And last season, you even had a scare with your dipping habit. It's pretty obvious that a steady diet of cigarettes, Red Bull, and sleep deprivation will kill just about anybody. Has Phil's death inspired you to want to quit even more?
Yeah, steady diet of that will probably do us all in at the end of the day. I'm working on it. You know, I'm trying to get through my you know, nicotine addiction, and I know a lot of people have it up there. And, you know, I guess sailors in general, you know, there's not a lot out there but work, and more work, you know, and it's an incredibly intense and stressful job sitting in the wheelhouse by yourself hour after hour after hour. And so, you know, as fishermen, a lot of guys, you know, lean on a crutch, whether it's dipping or smoking or you know, five pots of coffee in a day or whatever it is for each individual. And for myself personally, yeah, it's been a wake-up call. Last year was a huge wake-up call when I, you know, basically my dentist sent me to an oral surgeon to have my mouth looked at. And with Phil's passing, you know, I mean, cigarettes played a huge part, ultimately that, plus the stress levels, you know, of trying to fish in the Bering Sea. So I'm trying to stay fit, trying to ride my bicycle a lot when I'm at home, and, you know, try and keep the blood pumping and the heart ticking.
Aren't we all? Well, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, it's more with Deadliest Catches Captain Keith Colbert, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. All right, guys and gals, spring turkey is finally here, and if you're like me, you're looking for a great way to show off that trophy gobbler. With a full line of turkey fan mounting kits, Texas European Mounts has you covered. From their traditional oak plaques to a truly Texan mesquite plaque, there's something for everyone. So whether you're a hobbyist or a full-time taxidermist, Texas European Mounts has what you need. Check them out at www.texaseuropeanmounts.com or give them a call at 940-631-4334. That's www.texaseuropeanmounts.com. Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting. Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
If you enjoy fishing, then you've got to go fishing on Lake Texoma with Brian Pritchard at Stripers, Inc. Brian has a lifetime of experience fishing Texoma and takes the utmost pride in providing the highest quality care for his customers to ensure an experience they'll never forget by becoming a friend rather than just a fishing guide. You are guaranteed to catch fish with Brian or your trip will be free. Check out his website at www.stripersinc.com or give him a call at 903-815-1609 to set up your next fishing trip.
Cable Smith here to tell you about my friend Todd Moy over at Revolution Custom Carts. Revolution Custom Carts is a licensed EasyGo and Bad Boy Buggies dealer, so whether you want a custom golf cart, a low-speed street vehicle, or a tricked-out hunting rig, Revolution is the place for you. In addition to offering tax credits, tell Todd you heard this ad and save 10% on any purchase. I've been to the convenient Plano Road location in Dallas, and you should too. Give Todd a call at 214-340-7100 or check out the website at www.revolutioncustomcarts.com.
Outdoorsmen are always looking for the best way to prepare our meats, and that's why you should check out Smoke & Tex. Smoke & Tex builds fully electric, portable, stainless steel ovens that are built to last. We feature amazing customer service with an industry-best two-year warranty. Visit us at www.smokeandtex.com for the easiest way to gently cook moist and tender brisket, ribs, chicken, fish, and wild game. Prep the food, load the oven, add wood, set the temperature, and walk away. The static air environment locks in the flavor for you. Call 888-922-1511 or visit us at smokeandtex.com and tell them you heard about it on the Lone Star Outdoor Show for an exclusive exclusive special.
Outdoor Pro Shops is Dallas's oldest and largest full-line archery shop. Come set up a new bow or change the strings or fine-tune an older bow on our indoor range. We carry a full line of compound and traditional bows in the following brands: Matthews, Mission, Hoyt, Elite, Struthers, Martin, and PSC. Outdoor Pro Shops has it all. Free setup and lesson when you buy a bow. Stop by and tell us you heard this ad and save 10% off any bow sight or 20% off any Black Creek bow case or backpack. Visit us at www.outdoorproshops.com or call 972-414-1969. Cable Smith here, and I want to tell you about my friends and fellow outdoorsmen at No Fences Land Company. No Fences Land Company is a recreational real estate firm that focuses on listing and selling fine ranch properties for hunting and fishing. Their affiliation with Cabela's Trophy Properties gives them a marketing advantage to offer today's buyers and sellers the finest ranch real estate services available. If you have a property you're looking to buy or sell, please contact No Fences Land Company at 800-866-LAND or visit them on the web at nofencesland.com.
This is Robin Rikers, Director of Coastal Fisheries, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range.
Being on the run. Good morning, Texas. Cable Smith welcoming you back to the presentation. And I've still got Deadliest Catch Captain Keith Colburn on the line. But before we pick it back up with our exclusive interview, I need to tell you about my buddy Todd Moy over at Revolution Custom Carts. He's a licensed Bad Boy Buggies dealer. He's got everything you need for your ranch or lease. Give him a call at 214-340-7100 or check him out online at revolutioncustomcarts.com. Well, we've still got a lot to get into with Wizard Captain Keith Colburn. Keith, what's the longest amount of time that you've been in the wheelhouse without a break? And have you ever fallen asleep and woken up to realize that you passed the first pot on your string?
I have not fallen asleep in the wheelhouse as I've been the captain, but my first year as a greenhorn, I nodded off, and the captain threatened to basically lash me to the ship's wheel. Ever since that time, I've pretty much found a way to keep my eyes open. But there's times when, you know, you'll get preoccupied. Next thing you know, you drive right past the end bag on the string and turn around and kind of regather yourself. The longest time I've gone without a break, I've put in some 72, 80-hour shifts before. You know, and about 56 hours, you start to really get kind of goofy and rummy. It's very rare that you'll push yourself that hard, but sometimes there's that happens. You know, on the Wizard, we work with a bigger crew, so we're working 24 hours a day. We never shut the boat down. And, you know, I rotate with my brother Monty up in the wheelhouse. He runs the boat about 5 or 6 hours a day, and I try and go down every day for about 5 or 6 hours. And the problem with that is that right after I go down, he's got to go down. And so if I don't sleep during that 5 or 6 hours, then, you know, I've just worked 18 or 20, stayed up with him for 5 or 6, and then I've got an 18 or 20-hour shift sitting in front of me. So it happens a lot where I'll be pushing, you know, 36 hours or better. Mm-hmm. You know, try not to do it, but, you know, it just happens.
We've only got a couple weeks to catch your share of the quota, so you can just sleep when you're dead.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, the sooner we get back to town, that's one less storm we're going to go through, that's one less wave we're going to take, and that's one less opportunity for something to go wrong. So, you know, once we get out of town, we focus and really, really drive to get the crab caught as quickly as possible, utilize and take advantage of the weather windows when we get them, and just try and get our crab caught and get the heck back to town.
Keith, the Wizard is the largest vessel in the Bering Sea crab fleet. Is that usually an advantage, or are there times you wish you had a smaller, swifter vessel?
Well, it's actually pretty fast, too. I mean, it's a little above average for speed. It's not the fastest boat in the fleet, but it packs, I think, the most crab of any boat in the fleet. You know, there's times when it is an advantage. Some boats only hold 100 crab pots on deck, you know, and the Wizard can hold 250. I remember a guy put the whammy on me one year because I had a phenomenal season fishing with about 160 pots one year. And the next year, they allowed us to each take 250 out. So I could get all 250 out on my first set. And the thing was, is I looked at the guy and I said, yeah, it'll be huge. If I set 250 pots on the mother load, I'm going to be just head and shoulders above everybody and have this huge jump on everybody.
Right.
I said, but if I set 250 blanks, I've got about 3 days of cleanup to get that gear back on the boat and get it into a new area. And it could ultimately be just a complete disaster. So sometimes it can work against you. And that year, I shouldn't have said anything because it did work against me. We did set 250 blanks and did everything we could as quickly as we could to clean up the mess and move about 50 miles and basically barely saved a season.
Well, that's cutting it pretty close. Keith, you and your brother Monty are first-generation crab fishermen. What made you interested in the Bering Sea, and is it something that you really love doing, or is it more of a financial decision?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of both. It is a financial thing. You know, I've been doing it for 25 years now. It's basically my career at this point. I've committed myself to it, and I've invested pretty much everything I've made back into the fishery with the boat and, you know, crab quota and everything else that goes into trying to catch crab up there. So the financial end of it's definitely there, but I made that decision 15 years ago that I enjoyed the job. I liked the job. And, you know, the longer you're up there, the more you realize there's days when you really love what you do. I mean, I have days when I would be nowhere else on the planet but in the Bering Sea catching crab. There's also days out there where it's the last place on the planet you want to be. So hopefully the good days are more numerous than the bad days.
Well, at the end of the day, I guess that's all you can really ask for out of any career choice. What would you be doing if you weren't the captain of the Wizard?
Oh, wow. I don't know. You know, prior to being a fisherman, I was a cook. I was actually a French assistant chef in a really nice restaurant. So I was moving towards that career. You know, I got to a point where I said, you know what, before I really commit myself to this, and I was a young kid then, so I want to try something different. So bought a plane ticket, went to Alaska, and you know what, I pretty much fell in love with it right away, and I've been there ever since.
Give me one second, Keith. I'm trying to picture you in a chef's hat. It's a far cry from that baseball cap you always have on during the show.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. And then, you know, the other thing is, you know, I grew up skiing and was real athletic and sports-oriented, and that's why, you know, everybody thinks I was a crab captain, the guy that's riding the Harley down the road. You know, actually, I'm about the size of most Harley riders, but I'm the guy that's on the little skinny tires riding on the side of the road. It was pretty strange.
Yeah. Keith, let's talk about the infamous rogue wave that washed over the side of the Wizard during Season 5. Your brother Monty and some of the crew members were banged up pretty good. A couple of the guys even had to go to the hospital. Was that your scariest moment while fishing the Bering Sea?
You know, people ask me that all the time. You know, do you get scared out there? You know, is the answer to that is no. I don't know what it is, but, you know, like in that moment there, you would think you would be terrified, but in actuality, it's like you just get so focused on dealing with a situation and trying to make sure that everybody's okay and getting them off deck and getting them patched up that you really just don't have time to let those kind of thoughts enter your mind. You're just working. You're trying to get whatever job it is done. I mean, if it's a medical triage in the galley with three guys and securing the stack and doing everything you can to get the boat back to town as quickly as possible, like we did in that situation. After the event, when you have time to take a deep breath and you get a chance to realize what might have happened, then you kind of get the weird emotions that flood through you, and it's like, you know, it's sort of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe what just happened, you know, and then you start realizing, you know, that as the captain, you're always responsible for everybody, and it's a huge responsibility. I take it very seriously. You know, at the end of the day, we got lucky. We didn't lose anybody over the side, and the guys who got banged up on board, actually, both Soper and Monty had to fly out on that one. Soper was able to, he got released and got back to town in a few days while we were kind of regrouping, but it was a pretty scary situation, but during the moment, I can't remember ever being scared.
Being responsible for the lives of all of your crew and your brother, I mean, goodness gracious, I think it would make me way too paranoid. We've got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from Wizard Captain Keith Colburn. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show on 95.3 The Range.
I'm a wretched Englishman, riding Bonaparte at Waterloo. I'm a dragoon on a dun, I'm a Cossack on the run, I'm a horse soldier, timeless through and through.
The Wyo Ranch Steakhouse combines an elegance and southern hospitality reminiscent of their famous South Texas ranch. I've had the signature buffalo filet, hands down the best steak I've ever eaten. Featuring a full menu of steak, seafood, and wild game, this is the steakhouse for the outdoorsman. Located in Dallas's historic West End District, call 214-744-3287 or visit them online at www.wyoranchsteakhouse.com. Tell Tony you heard about them on the range and get 15% off your meal. Wyo Ranch Steakhouse, the official steakhouse of the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
If you have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease, we have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17 and 30 foot diameter traps. When you're finished trapping the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The system can be used for both a trap and a deer food plot fence, so you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Check out our website at www.goinfencing.com.
That's www.goinfencing.com or call 940-391-3669.
Cable Smith here, and I want to tell you about my friend Matt at Birdworks Taxidermy. Birdworks is a small birds-only taxidermy studio that specializes in custom avian artistry. Matt's passion is taking his clients' birds and turning them into trophy works of art. Specializing in waterfowl, turkey, cranes, and upland game, Birdworks is conveniently located in Fort Worth and has been serving DFW for over a decade. Visit Birdworks at www.birdworkstaxidermy.com or give Matt a call at 817-691-2625.
Rick's Outpost is the place for the outdoorsman. Rick's offers USDA-approved taxidermy on large and small game, as well as fish. As the official wild game processor of the Lone Star Outdoor Show, Rick's guarantees you'll get your own meat back and in a timely manner. Serving the Frisco, North Dallas area for over 20 years, Rick's offers a custom welding shop, hunting blinds, and game feeders. Rick will also help you book your trophy hunt. Located on Highway 380 in Aubrey, call 972-346-2825 or visit us at www.ricksoutpost.com.
We all know that outdoorsmen are rough on their gear, rough on their dogs, and rough on themselves. So whether you fall out of a deer stand or wreck your face in an ATV accident, let Dr. Connie Smith fix your broken teeth. Dr. Smith has been practicing in Dallas for over 20 years and is conveniently located at the intersection of Preston and Forest. Experience state-of-the-art dentistry delivered by a gentle and highly skilled dentist and staff and a warm, caring atmosphere. Dr. Connie J. Smith uses state-of-the-art dental techniques to help you achieve the beautiful smile of your dreams. Call 972-239-7551. That's 972-239-7551.
Revolution Logistics is a Dallas-based full-service transportation company. Whether you need trucking services or warehouse services, Revolution Logistics is the answer. We offer full truckload as well as LTL and door-to-door service throughout North America. Dry van, intermodal, flatbed, and heavy haul. Revolution has it all. We also have warehousing services including storage, transloading, consolidation, and deconsolidation. Visit us at www.revolutionlogistics.com or give Todd a call at 214-340-7100.
That's www.revolutionlogistics.com.
Extreme Whitetails and Exotics is now booking spring turkey and trophy boar hunts. Looking for a top quality, affordable, exotic bow hunt? Then check out our website at www.extremewhitetails.net. Located just 2 hours west of DFW in Cross Plains, Texas, in addition to trophy hogs and spring turkey, we're now booking for our inaugural whitetail season coming up this fall. Want to shoot a 200-class buck? Then visit Extreme Whitetails and Exotics at www.extremewhitetails.net or give our ranch manager, Lewis Duncan, a call at 972-322-3821. You'll be glad you did.
Where does it go? The good Lord only knows. Seems like it was just the other day.
One of the all-time greats there, Waylon Jennings, bringing us back from break here on the Lone Star Outdoors Show. I'm Cable Smith, and I've still got Keith Colburn on the line. You may know him as Captain Keith from the Discovery Channel's hit series Deadliest Catch. We don't have any time to waste this morning, so let's go ahead and pick it up right where we left off.
Before the break, we were talking about your responsibility as the captain of a Bering Sea fishing vessel. Tell me about not only having to look after your crew, but by being on Deadliest Catch, you've added an entire camera crew whose well-being depends on you.
You know, we go through a lot of drills, a lot of training, a lot of preseason preparation that is probably a little monotonous and strict training program, not only for the crew, but also for the camera guys when they step foot on the boat. They're part of my crew, and so I am responsible for them, and, you know, they need to understand right away where the danger zones are. You know, I mean, they're looking through a little lens, and they want the big wave. They, you know, some of the guys, especially if it's their first year, need to be educated in just how hazardous that big wave is. So, you know, we work real diligently to try and give them an opportunity to film what we're doing and stay in an area where they are relatively safer. It's never safe when you walk out on the Bering Sea crab boat deck, but we work to try and minimize the potential risk that they take as cameramen, yet still give them an opportunity to get out there with the guys.
Well, that's some pretty good insight, because all we have as viewers is what we see on the Discovery Channel. Shifting gears, what's the most gruesome injury you've seen while on the Bering Sea?
You know, I've been pretty fortunate. You know, I've seen guys get banged up pretty good, some pretty serious lacerations, some broken bones, things like that. But for the most part, I've been really fortunate in my career, knock on wood.
Seamen and their superstitions.
Yes, probably just the ugliest thing just in the last few years and that actually was on TV was, you know, Lenny when he had his finger mangled a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Was actually worse than what it looked like on TV by a lot. Hey, the camera guy almost vomited at the clinic. It was a pretty intense thing when the medic there was kind of sewing it all back together. Periodically we see stuff probably would rather not, but you know what, it's sometimes it's part of the job.
Keith, it's obvious that you risk your well-being each time that you leave Dutch Harbor, but there's also another risk, and that's the financial aspect of fishing the Bering Sea and running a crab boat. How much fuel does the Wizard hold, and about how much do you spend on fuel over the course of a season?
Well, basically the Wizard holds about 30,000 gallons of fuel. Depending on the price of diesel, it can be anywhere from $60,000 to $100,000 to fill up. We'll routinely probably burn $250,000 to $300,000 worth of fuel.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's, you know, a lot of people say, wow, millions of dollars. You know, well, at the end of the day, when it costs you $100,000 to fill the tank up, when it costs you $50,000 just to get your crab pots in shape for the season, and, you know, $100,000 for insurance, and, you know, the shipyard bill runs you $250,000. I mean, it's, yeah, there can be big rewards, but you're definitely financially taking some pretty big risks trying to get a boat out there, trying to keep it in good fishing, safe fishing shape. And, you know, at the end of the day, you hope the numbers pencil out.
Have you ever had a season that was a total bust?
Total and complete bust? Not while I've been running the boat. I've had had a few early years of my career where we didn't do so well. I know one year Monty and I were fishing way out west in Adak for king crab, and in the first 10 days of the season, we caught one crab.
Wow.
Yeah, so there was one crab walking around by himself down there in that tank for over a week. By the time we got back to town, I think, you know, with food and fuel and bait and everything else, you know, the whole crew was pretty much in the hole a few thousand bucks a piece at least, and the owner was in the hole a ton of money. But you know what? He gave us each $500 and said, hope to see you back here in another month, and everybody said, oh, we're coming back. So,
huh.
You know, sometimes you don't make any money out there. Sometimes, you know, you can lose money out there.
Talk about a high-risk, high-reward career choice. Keith, crab or king on the Bering Sea, but here in the Lone Star State, we're all about the largemouth bass. Have you ever had the pleasure of fishing in Texas?
You know, I have not fished in the Lone Star State, and I know it offers a lot. Bass is huge, and then just the whole Gulf. I mean, you've got the Gulf of Mexico there. You've got great fishing off the coast. At some point, I'd like to do that. I fly fish a little bit. I live on a little lake. We have some bass in the lake I live on, so, you know, every now and then I'll dip a hook in the water. But, yeah, maybe one of these points I'll be able to get down to Texas and try and do some fishing.
Well, you've got an open invitation anytime you want to come down. What do you do in your free time when you're not aboard the Wizard? I know that family is a very important part of your life.
Up until last year, my son became too good. I used to coach Little League every year, so I'd take about 3 months and try and teach a bunch of young boys how to play baseball. You know, I ride my bicycle a lot, and it's, you know, it's a pretty demanding, basically, sport. And that helps kind of keep me in shape and also gives me a chance to just kind of get out on the road and sort of think about something other than fishing for a while.
The required physical toughness of your job goes without saying, but let's talk a little bit about the mental aspect of it. Have you ever seen a man just completely snap and lose it while out at sea?
One, I have seen guys break down and lose it. It's even more demanding than what you see on the television show. You can't really show pain. I mean, you can show somebody if they look tired or they look like they're in pain, but to actually experience what the guys go through, you know, I mean, basically when we start fishing, the guys are overworking their bodies. You know, they're never getting a chance for the muscles to recover. So during the course of the season, you know, within about a week, the guys, their hands will all start going numb, their fingers will go numb, their wrists all the way to their elbows sometimes. And, you know, it's really hard for them to maintain dexterity and keep working. But pretty soon you realize that you've hit the bottom. It's not going to get any worse. It really sucks. I can do it.
But what about mentally? Have you ever had a crew member just completely lose it and go off the deep end? Maybe you had to lock them below deck just to keep them away from the rest of the crew?
I had one crewman probably 10, 12 years ago just kind of completely snap, got a little bit violent, and not to the point where we had to, you know, put him under house arrest or, you know, lash him to his bunk in his stateroom or anything, but it was a little unnerving at the time. But, you know, we managed to get through it, get back to town. I know boat Monty was on years ago. There was a greenhorn on the boat, and we were doing some sort of longshore, offshore fisheries late in the summer up near St. Matthews, and this guy totally cracked. And when he was hired, he had this little kayak that he brought on board with him. And he just hopped in his kayak and paddled away in the middle of the night. And what was amazing, he didn't take water. He took no provisions. He had no navigational tools. He just hopped in his kayak and decided it was time to go. And fortunately for him, there were three boats in the area that started doing a search pattern. And, you know, we ended up scooping the guy up, and he was just crazy as a loon. Managed to get him back over to the other boat, and they got into town, and I think he's I don't think he's back in the Bering Sea.
I would hope not. My goodness. Crab fishermen, and maybe just sailors in general, seem like a real roughneck group of guys. Are bar fights pretty common back at Dutch Harbor?
You know, when I first started fishing, you know, I there was all kinds of rumors about just how rough a town Dutch Harbor was, and, you know, it was like a, you know, sort of a last frontier town, and it was extremely rough, and there was, you know, pretty much bar fights every night. Through the years, I've probably drugged my guys out of the bar or had to jump in and break things up a multitude of times. I'm not going to say it's gotten a lot more civilized out there, but probably a little bit.
Awesome. I like a good roughneck, last frontier type of town. Kind of like I like a good Clint Eastwood Western, you know? Keith, as far as the actual filming of Deadliest Catch, do you ever have to just tell the camera crew to lay off and that enough's enough, just my crew needs a little space? Or hell, maybe you need a little space.
Well, at the end of the day, it's my boat and I'm in charge. So, I mean, there's been times when I've, you know, said enough's enough. But for the most part, we just let them keep doing what they're doing as long as they stay out of the way and they're not trying to instigate anything and they're just kind of trying to capture what's occurring. Pretty genuine what they capture out there. But the amount of footage they have is phenomenal. I mean, you know, I think, you know, Deadliest Catch will be 16 one-hour episodes, and in those episodes, there's about 16,000 hours worth of footage. So it's about 1,000 hours worth of tape for every 1 hour they put together. So there's a lot that doesn't get shown, and it's amazing because we don't get to see the show in advance. And at the end of the season, you think, wow, this was kind of a cool story, or this was a cool event, or this was a bad event, and then it doesn't even end up on TV. And you're like going, wow, that's kind of strange. You know, and then other times there's stuff that you completely forgot about that ends up being out there. So you really, you don't know really what the heck they're going to show, you know. But they just keep filming and we just keep fishing.
Keith, one more thing before I let you go. You captains are all notorious on Deadliest Catch for being just slave drivers. Out of all the guys on the show, who do you think is the most relentless?
You know, I think probably in varying degrees, guys are different. You know, I'm pretty relentless. I'm not trying to push guys to their limits. I'm trying to keep guys as far away from their limits as possible. You know, I'm trying to manage not only the boat, the gear, catching the crab, but the crew as well, and trying to make sure that they're, you know, that they're in good shape the whole time. But we don't stop. You know, we're working around the clock, 24 hours a day. And so sleep management, food shifts and everything else, you got to try and find a way to pencil that in to keep the guys moving. But, you know, I'd say Sig's right up there as well. Sig's pretty much a driver.
Sig definitely comes across as a slave driver. But you know what, Keith? I've seen a lot of stuff on the show and read some other stuff that makes me think you and Sig really aren't that different.
Probably true, just a little different technique.
I guess it just kind of goes with the territory, huh? Everyone check out the website, www.crabwizard.com. I understand that y'all are adding some stuff to your store.
Yeah, I had a store, but I'm putting a few new items together. Basically, the website's out there just for fans. You know, there's a little community of folks that follow the boat real closely, and there's a lot of history about the boat and the crew, and there's some interesting facts about the boat itself. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I love my boat. It's just an amazing boat, and I want everybody to know that, you know, it's about the coolest boat on the planet.
Deadliest Catch Season 6 premieres at 8 o'clock, April 13th. Y'all set those DVRs. Keith, I am really looking forward to it, and thanks again for the time this morning.
Well, Cable, hey, it's been a pleasure, and good luck everybody down there in the great state of Texas. Good fishing, good hunting, and stay safe.
Something tells me it's Keith that is going to need the good luck, so hopefully he'll continue to knock on wood and do whatever else it is those crazy sailors do. That's going to do it for us for this morning, as we are about out of time. Thanks to both our guests, Byron Velvick, and, of course, Captain Keith. Got a great show lined up for you next week, as State Representative Sid Miller of Stephenville will come on to talk about hog legislation. We'll also visit with Anthony Licata. He is the chief editor of Field and Stream magazine. Lots of good stuff coming up next week. Be sure to tune in, same time, same place. A sincere thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoors Show. I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
Hey, running buddy, wait till you see the good times we'll have when we both hook up with